when it's apple picking time in Orange, New Jersey. We'll be a peach of a pear. I know we cantaloupe, but honeydew, be mine, and I'll throw my arms around you like a watermelon bun. 'Cause when it's apple picking time in Orange, New Jersey, we'll be a peach of a pear.
This is a Cider Chat, a Double Nickel episode number 55. And my name is Rhea Windcaller, and I'm your Cider MC. On this weekly podcast, where we speak with cider makers, enthusiasts, and folks within the cider trade from around the world. And it's been a busy week in Ciderville for me. And if you are in the Northern Hemisphere and you're an apple picker where you pick, press, and make cider, well, you know exactly what I mean. I was out in the orchard this past weekend working with a little apple called a lady. Yep, that's right, L-A-D-Y. Now, this little tree is out in the orchard, and it's kind of the only lady out there. I don't know how the other apples feel about that, but maybe they'll be having a conversation with the wine sap, and they'll figure it out. Anyways, the lady is considered an ornamental apple for the most part, and this particular orchard and the orchardist there would, in the past, sell this apple to grocery stores around this time to holiday shoppers who then use it to adorn their table for perhaps Thanksgiving or Christmas. I, however, know that it's also a cider apple, not one that you really want to bite into and start munching away on. It has a bit of tannins, and if it's picked at the right time, it seems to have a wee bit of sweetness. So I'm experimenting with this apple tree because the owner was kind enough to say, "Rhea, you could take the fruit and do as you please." Now that's kept me busy, and I even took a little bit of a video of it. That 2 minute plus video is on the Cider Chat Facebook page, but also on the Cider Chat YouTube channel, don't you know? I do have a YouTube channel, and I have a lot of stuff to put up there, but I just can't keep up. And it's just me and my solo, and I'm just trying to get these podcasts out every week. And it does take a little bit of time because I want to make it worth your while. Speaking of worth your while, let me get into this week. It's going to be a short chat because I don't have as much time as I normally do, and I'm trying to edit some special ones coming up. I have a whole bunch in the queue, and each one deserves attention to really make the best out of that chat so that you could both understand it and it delivers the message from that particular cider maker. So next week, you could look forward to hearing from Chuck Shelton of Albemarle in Virginia. That's a cidery that is super, super wonderful because they have a lot of heritage apples. And Chuck Shelton and his family, ooh, they are some role models for a lot of folks. So that'll be a lot of fun. And I thought that would really mix well for the Thanksgiving feast if you are in America. And if you're overseas, like I have been in some years in the past during Thanksgiving, if you're not American, you're not really into the turkey way like we are here. Well, I hope you'll enjoy that. So wait for that chat. It'll be coming up next week. And then the following week, we're going to be listening to Eric Bordelais. And I've been kind of working that chat out, trying to figure out how best to deliver it to you. Because he is a Frenchman, and he is not a native English speaker. We had a lot of different conversations, and I'm thinking to myself, well, what does Ciderville want to hear? Because last week, we did have an amazing chat with Mike Schilling of Beerology. And man, oh man, oh, that was such a popular chat because we're getting into the particulars of cider making. And with Eric Bordelais, it's on a whole different kind of level. And frankly, I just want to say, if you are insider and you get the idea of cuisine and how it could go to this other higher level, you want to listen to that podcast with headphones on. One, because of his accent, so you could really hear what he's doing as I am kind of working through speaking with him, and also to get the subtleties of his enunciations and passion. An amazing chat. I'm looking forward to kind of finishing the editing and getting it out to you, Ciderville. Speaking of which, cider making. I want to just give you a little bit of a reminder and some little tidbits that you could kind of chaw on while you're looking at your own carboid bubbling away. And this is more specific to folks like myself who are non-commercial cider makers. Now, if you're a newbie to this, you might have just gotten some juice at your local cider mill. Maybe you came up to Cider Days that just took place two weekends ago, I guess now. Whew, time flies. And now it's been bubbling away. Perhaps you did a wild fermentation like I had that conversation with Mike Schilling about, where we did wild cider and just let it ferment away. Or perhaps you did a single culture where you pitched a yeast that you bought at a store. Either way, you want to be checking in on your cider. Now, if it's wild, I just say let it go. But make sure if the fermentation is kind of slowing down that you fill up whatever vessel you have that in. I'm going to guess maybe and hope that you have it in a glass carboy. That would work, like a 5-gallon vessel. Make sure that you have a minimum amount of airspace between the cider that's in the vessel and where the cork is on top. And you're going to have an airlock too to release that CO2. So figure about a 1/2 inch. That should be awesome. Now, what do you fill that up with? Say you don't have a full carboy. Well, you could take some more apple juice or sweet cider. And you want to make sure that you don't introduce a new culture in there. So you might want to heat that up to temperature. Or if you just buy some apple juice from a store, it's probably pasteurized already, just pour it in. Don't worry. Okay, don't sweat small stuff. Just pour it in. It's going to be okay. What I sometimes do, if I have a large amount of a headspace, I'll do that sweet cider apple juice. But if it's a small amount of space, then I don't mind opening one of my bottles of cider from last year and filling that gap. Heck, you could even throw in a bottle of Sauvignon Blanc or Chardonnay. The whole thing about cider making is keep it easy, and keep it easy on the wallet too, because you just don't know what you're going to find. And part of the glory of it is just kind of going for it and being bold. Now, let's say you did a single culture yeast, and that was something that you bought, and you are looking at the fermentation slowing down about now. You know, it's kind of quieted down, and you want to fill up that gap. That's a good thing to do. And in about a week or so, I'm going to say you want to rack that sucker over. Now, what that means when people say they're going to rack it, you want to have that bottle of cider that you have fermenting away, you want to have it at a height that when you stick a tube into it, and the tubes you get at different sizes, you want to get a food grade tube, you could actually go to like your, give a plug for Home Depot or some kind of hardware store where they would have a food grade clear tubing that they might use for like an ice maker. That would work fine. Just make sure it's food grade. My local hardware store actually does carry tubing, and I like to support them. Of course, you could also go to your homebrew shop if there's one close enough, or you get a mail order too. So you're going to pop that into the tube, and you're going to create a siphon and siphon off that liquid into another vessel. Now, one of the ways I keep this really easy for myself is I use a clothespin. And I clip on that tube that I have in the main carboy, and it basically is like a stop so that the tube doesn't go all the way down to the bottom and start sucking up all the schmutz that's on the bottom of the carboy. I don't want to do that. I want to get that liquid as clear as possible, so when I eventually bottle it, maybe in May or when I get to it, it's as clear as a bell. So again, you're going to siphon it over into a new vessel, and you're going to siphon it off of the lees that's on the bottom, or what I'm calling schmutz. And that means not putting your tube all the way so it touches the bottom of the glass jar. You're going to keep it up high. And sometimes this is also a good thing to do with somebody else, because they could start holding that bottle, and as you're getting down to the end, they kind of tip it forward on its side, you know, slowly enough so you're not kind of shaking up all the precipitants that have dropped down on the bottom. And starting from there, don't worry, you know, you don't have to suck up all the bottom liquid that's on top of the schmutz. Let that sit there, pour it into a mason jar, put it in your refrigerator, let it settle out, and then drink it. And you could kind of say, oh, you know, this is my first early cider. And it'll start teaching you some of the flavors that you like or don't like. Then you take your new vessel, your new carboyd that is filled with your racked over cider. You want to fill up that gap so there's only a half inch. Put your airlock in, and put what I like to do is I put in actually vodka in that airlock, because it's just like where I store it. I don't want it to freeze. And I like also that it stays sterile. Or you could just heat up water at a boiling point and pour that into your airlock. Now, for me, boiling water is not too much of a deal, because I have these beautiful glass airlocks. I think they're antique, and they were given to me by a friend. I also have a lot of plastic airlocks, and when you pour boiling water into that, well, they discolor, and, you know, plastic doesn't really go too well with hot water. So the way you get around that is you just pour in a little bit of spirits like vodka, and then you're good to go. So we'll be going along this cider trail, and I'll be hopefully reminding you and I about what we're supposed to be doing in the subsequent months, so that by the time we move into the spring, or more likely late spring for me or early summer, we could think about bottling that, and I'll give you some more tricks of the trade. Just make sure that you keep it clean. It's not too hard to do. You want to make sure you have a sanitized vessel that you move that new cider into. Keep the top of the airlock all clean. Hot water, boiled clean, sterile water is your friend in that way. And don't be afraid. I mean, it's so forgiving. I just find it's the most forgiving libation around. And if you have any questions, post it on the Cider Chat Facebook page, or drop me a line, Rhea@CiderChat. Well, I'm just cracking myself up, because as I'm going back and editing this program, I realize I really haven't told you about what we're doing this week. Now, you noticed in the beginning, there was that little bit of song.
When it's apple-picking time in Orange, New Jersey, we'll be a peach of a pear.
I just love that kind of style singing, because, you know, you could just sit around with your buds, have a cider, and just do some good harmony. I really enjoy that. Well, we're not going to just stop with that song. This is a little bit of a wave, a couple songs. It was pre-recorded this past weekend while I was at New Salem Preserves with my dear friend Carol B. Hillman at her annual Harvest Feast. This is where she invites folks like myself, good friends, folks who are from her orchard, and cider makers. She has this beautiful colonial era home. That's where I was getting the lady apples that I talked about already. And don't you know, at the end of the evening, we always like to sit around and have a little bit of a sing. And there's a couple apple songs that over the years have been sung every single time we gather for this Harvest Fest. The lead singer, his name is David Gott, and we're going to just roll into a little bit of the conversation, which I thought I would keep in there so that you could kind of hear a little bit of the hamming about, well, what's pasteurized, what isn't, a little bit behind the scenes, and then we'll be going into some songs. And I hope you do enjoy them, and even more so that if you are able to try singing along. Cider is a culture. It's the making of the cider. It's the growing of the apples. It's all the different layers that come together. Song is how we carry on traditions and pass that along. Let's grab a little glass for this mini sing-along chat and head out into the New England landscape and have a little bit of a sing-along.
I'm sure there's some great hard cider songs. I know one a little bit about sweet cider. Well, a good one with a...
Yeah, do you know any hard cider songs?
I kind of prefer the word cider. I'm not a big hard cider.
Oh, there you go. Good point. Really,
do we call it hard wine or hard beer? No. So I'm a little of that like...
Okay.
Just so you know.
Then do we have... Do those of us who tend to do the non-alcohol, do we have to say sweet
cider?
Yes,
we do.
It's apple juice.
Oh no!
Apple juice is pasteurized.
I call it sweet cider.
You call it sweet cider, and then you call.
I call fermented cider.
Okay.
But you know, in the U.S. is the only country in the world that calls it hard cider.
I used to get furious when I was making sweet cider and selling it because you could go into the A&P and it would say cider. And it was apple juice.
Yeah.
Because there's no regulations on what you can call what. You
right.
can call anything,
right.
anything you
right.
want. So
it causes a little confusion. Like some parents will come, oh, can I give this to my kids? And it's like, oh, no.
Yeah, right.
Seriously.
Yeah, you have to explain your product.
Did you notice the kids before you said no?
They're being quiet.
Probably, yeah.
It's all good.
It is all good.
Why don't you like apple juice?
Because it's pasteurized.
Right, it's a pasteurized. That's what apple juice is.
But you pasteurize them.
No.
UV is a form of pasteurization.
It is different.
Well, it's still...
Oh, good. From controversy.
Hold up. We're sitting on the same chair.
You are sitting too close to get in that argument.
All right.
Yeah. You should know better, Rhea.
Apple songs.
I think we could actually make up a verse about this. This got me going here. But we'll start with the regular old words. And this has a great chorus. In fact, let's start out with the chorus. Hey-ho, you feel so fine, looking out across the orchard in the bright sunshine. Hey-ho, you feel so fine, standing in the bottom of an apple tree. You want to try that again?
Yeah.
Hey-ho, you feel so fine, looking out across the orchard in the bright sunshine. Hey-ho, you feel so free, standing in the top of an apple tree. Up in the morning before the sun, and I don't get home till my work's all done. My pack sucks heavy and my shoulder's sore, but I'll be back tomorrow to pick some more.
Hey-ho, it feels so fine, and out across the orchard in the bright sunshine. Hey-ho, it feels so free, standing in the top of an apple tree.
Three-legged ladder, wobbly as hell, reaching for an apple, oops, almost fell. 20-pound sack hanging round my neck, and two more apples that I can't quite get.
Hey-ho, it feels so fine, looking out across the earth in the bright sunshine. Hey-ho, it feels so free, standing on the top of an apple tree.
Well, you start at the bottom and you pick your way way around, and you pick that tree clean to the ground. Then you take your lighter and you set it up high, and you're looking through the branches at the clear blue sky.
Hey ho, you feel so fine, and now across the orchard in the bright sunshine. Hey ho, you feel so free, standing on the top of an apple tree.
Hey ho, it's getting mighty cold, and the danged old apple picking season's getting old. Hey ho, it feels like snow, and my freezing cold fingers are telling me to go.
Hey ho, it feels so fine, looking out across the orchard in the bright sunshine. Hey ho, it feels so free, standing on the top of an apple tree.
So back when I had my cider business and got to make can't make some apple juice. My sweet cider. I wrote a verse about cider making. In this case, I'm going to stick to my use of the word, but we'll work on that.
It's all good.
We bought a cider business for a couple hundred bucks, which is true. We pressed a lot of juice till the gears got stuck. We grabbed and we pulled and we cursed and we swore. Now our cider's in the grocery store. You feel so fine, cause you got the cider pressed by a quarter to nine.
Hey ho, you feel so free,
making the Greenfield delivery. Nice. And Carol and Robert have done a lot of Greenfield and other deliveries, that's for sure.
You know, this is I'm sorry, but something in one of the earlier verses reminded me of this. We got a Hasegawa ladder. Have you ever heard of that?
It's a kind of ladder?
Yeah, it's a three-legged ladder. It's wonderful.
And are they the really tall ones or the modern?
Ours is a 12-footer, but you can get them lower. No. But they're really light. It's like 25 pounds for the 12-footer.
I may have
and
seen.
And very stable. They're,
now I can't get her up the ladder.
I used to paint the barn door. It was great.
I believe you. I have some friends with an amazing three-legged ladder that
And it's really comfortable because it doesn't have rungs. It's got a flap. I mean, it's a two-part base, so you can stand on it all day and it doesn't bother you.
Nice. What kind of ladders are called?
It's called a Hasegawa ladder.
Hasegawa.
But it's really lightweight. I saw it in Mother Earth News a couple of years and lusted after it and had to have what we found.
Wow.
I've got three of them, and I've got an old wooden one. And you lift the old wooden one, it's about an 8-foot ladder, but it's three-legged. And then you lift one of the aluminum ones, and you can see why they're not using the wooden ones anymore.
Yeah, this one is very singable because it's taken from a song from most of our childhoods. And this was a song Rick Stone, our mutual friend, and I wrote when we were commercial pruners in the orchards of Franklin County. There were a lot of orchards with big tall trees, and you know, we climbed around and we got a few dollars per tree. So we wrote this little song.
One is agriculture and there more shall be. So two are the
Poland saw tools for careful pruners.
Three is the price per tree.
Cortland, Baldwin, McIntosh, five. Or make up your own.
Right, that's for five.
Four,
I'm sorry, okay.
Five is the days in our work week.
Six
is the time of day we rise. Seven is a spray and will not use. Eight containers in our lunch. I'll sing you one. Oh, thick grow the branches, oh. What is your one? Oh, one is agriculture and evermore shall be so. Striking a chord, sound familiar? I'll sing you two. Oh, there grow the branches, oh. What is your two? Oh, two, the pole and saw, tools for careful pruners. One is agriculture, and evermore shall be so. I'll sing you three. Oh, thick grow the branches, oh. What is your three? Oh, the price per tree. Two, the pole and saw, tools for careful pruners. One is agriculture, and evermore shall be so. Please join in so you don't get bored. I'll sing you four. Oh, there grow the branches. Oh, what is your four? crushed by three the price per tree. Two the pole. Pardon? Boots for careful pruders. One is agriculture and evermore shall be. I'll sing a five oh. Thick grow the branches of. What is your 505 for the days in our work week? Cortland, Baldwin, McIntosh, by three the price per tree. Two the Poland's are tools for careful pruners. One is agriculture and ever more shall be. I only couple more verses. I'll sing you six oh. Three throw the branches oh. What is your six? Six is the time of day we rise. Seven is the five for the days in our work week. Cortland, Baldwin, McIntosh, by three, the price per tree. Two, the Poland song. Tools for careful brooders. One is agriculture and evermore shall be so. I think this pesticide's been banned for a while, but I may be wrong. I'll sing you 7-0. Thick, grow the branches, oh. What is your 7-0? Seven is a spray I will not use. Six is the time of day we rise. Five is the days in our work week. Cortland, Baldwin, McIntosh, spy. Three, the price per tree. Two, the pole and sartos for careful pruners. One is agriculture and evermore shall be. There was a certain time in the late 70s when we learned about raw foods, so we decided to make these blenders full of raw foods and things and take them. They were very good, but we took them to the orchard one day. It didn't kind of go over so well with the folks having their sandwiches and stuff, but so we wrote this verse in honor of that, and that is, I'll sing you 8-0 thick. Grow the branches, oh. What is your 8-0? Eight containers in our lunch. Seven is a spray we will not use. Six is the time of day we rise. And five for the days in our work week. Cortland, Baldwin, McIntosh, spy. Three, the price per tree. Two, the pole and saw. Tools for careful pruners. One is agriculture and evermore shall be so. Enough apple songs?
What is the name of that song, David? What did you call it? Do you call it just the song that Rick and I would sing? I don't know.
Pruner's that's Rot? No, I'm not sure.
Oh, that's an awesome song.
Oh, thanks. We'll work on a name. Oh, Thick Grow the Branches, oh.
Okay.
That's the name
thick
of the song.
Grows.
Thick Grow the Branches.
Oh, I love that song.
Oh, good. Well, I can get you the words sometime.
Yeah.
If you like.
I've been recording this.
Oh, cool. Uh-oh. They're both good to sing in the winter. Or actually, one is for this time of year. It's the Apple Tree Wassail, which I think has been sung at Cider Days by Michael Phillips and so on. He learned it from me. Anyway, goes like this. Old apple tree will wassaily and hoping thou wilt bear. The Lord does know where we shall be to be merry another year. To blow well and to bear well and so merry let us be. Let everyone drink up their cup and here's health to the old apple tree. Apples now, hatfuls, capfuls, bushel bags full, talletsful full, little heap under the stairs. Hip, hip, haroo! Hip, hip,
haroo!
Haroo. Hip, hip, haroo!
Haroo.
And that goes back about 800 years.
Yeah,
that's a
huge
very
song.
Traditional song. They would hit the apple trees, I guess, partly to try to stimulate more harvest.
Pour little cider onto the ground.
Cider
and dress up in all kinds of well things. There's a wassail
like the
traditions
Mars
happen around the world.
Yeah,
you know,
it's amazing.
In July, it's in Australia, and in, in January, it's in our northern hemisphere.
And it's a blessing.
It's a blessing, and it's a hope for a good harvest. And to blow well means to blossom well, and to bear well, of course.
Well, well, well. I hope you have enjoyed these Apple songs as much as I, and a little bit of the joking and kidding that happens with the best of friends. At the end of this chat, you'll hear one more song. It's not an Apple song, but it's a good time song to sing along with, and I hope you do join us as you listen to this podcast. In the meantime, I'm going to roll out of here, and I'll be looking forward to speaking with you next week. This is Rhea Windcaller signing off for now. Looking forward to seeing you in Ciderville.
I've been working on the railroad all the livelong day.
This is for you.
I've been working on the railroad.
Fee-fi, fiddly-i-oh, fee-fi, fiddly-i-oh.